Picture this. I'm sitting in a New York City chess club, heart racing, trying to project menace across the board. My opponent and I shake hands. I'm channeling psychological warfare when a woman appears with chocolate milk for my opponent, Ryan, who is 8 years old. 30 moves later, he dispatches me with ease. This humbling experience was part of my deliberate journey into beginnerdom, learning chess alongside my daughter, who eventually surpassed me despite our four-decade age gap. There's something radical about choosing to be a beginner again in our achievement-obsessed culture. The proposition is simple yet transformative. Learning new skills as an adult isn't just possible, but essential. Not because you'll master them, but because the very act of being a beginner reignites joy, curiosity, and neuropathways you thought were closed forever. When was the last time you learned something completely new? Most parents dutifully shuttle children between piano lessons, soccer practice, and coding camps while never engaging in learning themselves. When I asked chess parents if they played, most responded with apologetic shrugs. If chess was so beneficial for children's development, why were adults avoiding it? I realized I'd spent years acquiring knowing that knowledge as a journalist while neglecting knowing how, procedural skills that engage different parts of the brain. Being a beginner becomes challenging with age. We face stereotype threats about learning late, and our brains show real disadvantages. Slower processing, neuron loss, and doubled learning time. Yet neuroplasticity remains lifelong. Learning multiple skills simultaneously can reverse cognitive aging, while specific activities yield broader benefits. Swimming improves academics, chess enhances overall problem solving. The beginner stage is uniquely powerful. Your brain enters an extreme neurobiological state of heightened awareness and receptivity. Free from imposter syndrome, your mind becomes ready for anything. These early stages bring unprecedented progress, the steepest part of the learning curve. At NYU's Infant Action Lab, studying babies revealed remarkable insights. Toddlers cover 8 football fields daily with 2,400 steps, surpassing most adults. They attempt 160 walking bouts hourly, falling frequently, 17 times hourly for experienced walkers, 30 for novices. Yet their bodies are perfectly adapted for recovery. Babies thrive because errors draw no negative feedback. Failure is simply part of learning. They abandon expert crawling for walking despite constant falls because the payoff is immediate. Triple speed within a week, plus freed hands, better vision, and social independence. After serious falls, they fearlessly continue exploring. Their lesson is clear. If you don't learn to fail, you'll fail to learn. Singing is a fundamental human behavior with deep evolutionary roots predating language as a tool for emotional expression and social bonding. It offers numerous health benefits, from boosting immunity and endorphins to improving respiratory function. Research shows a peculiar trend. While children's singing abilities improve from kindergarten through sixth grade, college students test at kindergarten levels, simply because most stop singing regularly after elementary school. As children mature, they develop a musical self-concept, labeling themselves as talented or not, though their self-perception rarely matches actual ability. This mindset perpetuates the myth that musical ability is innate rather than developed. True tone deafness, congenital amusia, affects only 4% of the population. Most struggling singers simply need practice. Singing is fundamentally a motor skill, requiring muscle coordination like any physical activity. My own journey revealed that learning to sing isn't about practicing songs immediately. Instead, it begins with tuning the instrument, your voice. This means unlearning speaking habits that impede singing: hunched shoulders, jutting chin, constricted throat, and tension in the jaw and tongue. Across skills like chess, surfing, and language learning, progress often follows a U-shaped curve. In chess, ratings initially rise as beginners compete on avoiding blunders, but drop when facing equally skilled players. The expert beginner becomes the intermediate novice. Children's language development mirrors this pattern. They use correct verb forms through imitation before understanding rules, then make mistakes like saying speaked instead of spoke. Similarly, children who grasp that mixing equal temperature water maintains temperature later struggle with temperature addition concepts. My surfing journey illustrated this perfectly. Early success using a two-step pop-up method was followed by complete failure at a new break, revealing how temporary success differs from proper technique. Learning juggling provided deeper insights. My instructor used scarves to slow the process, emphasizing, "The key to learning juggling is not thinking." This principle extends broadly. Cyclists can't explain how they turn, steering right to go left, because conscious awareness would hinder performance. True skill emerges when actions become automatic. This explains why stroke patients relearning to walk develop mechanical gaits. They're overthinking an inherently automatic process. Drawing, like singing, is a natural ability we often abandon in childhood. Studies show 5-year-olds and professional artists score equally well in artistic expression, while everyone else falls between them. Children stop drawing what they feel and instead try to draw what they think things should look like. In my 5-day drawing workshop, my first self-portrait looked like a mugshot sketch if the suspect didn't actually dwell on this planet. Despite an hour's effort, I broke every proportion rule. By workshop's end, my final portrait showed dramatic improvement, and more importantly, drawing had transformed my perception. I noticed subtle reflections and textures I'd never seen before. This is the gift of beginnership. It changes how you experience the world. Surfing made me aware of wave patterns. Chess revealed spatial relationships, and singing transformed how I heard music. Each new skill becomes a lens that deepens everyday experiences. Learning physically rewires your brain through reorganizing its architecture. Studies show juggling alters both gray matter, processing centers, and white matter, neural connections, within a week. The brain responds more strongly to novel learning than familiar practice, making perpetual beginnership an effective trigger for neural reshaping. This journey wasn't about mastery, it was about finding joy in learning. While I didn't become a chess champion or a professional singer, I found genuine pleasure in developing modest competencies. Research shows passions develop through engagement and challenge rather than appearing spontaneously. In our results-focused world, there's value in embracing effort and struggle. My mistakes, from cycling falls to awkward surfing attempts, became growth opportunities that expanded my comfort zone and fostered empathy for fellow beginners. The project reignited my love of learning, sparking numerous other firsts. The key lesson? It's never too late to start. At swim camp, I met Patricia, a 70-year-old exploring everything from astronomy to pickleball. As Seneca wrote, it takes the whole of life to learn how to live. In a world fixated on expertise, there's power in choosing to be bad at something new. Each beginning rewires your brain, expands your identity, and rekindles the joy of discovery. The question isn't whether you have time to learn, it's whether you can afford not to. Your beginner's journey awaits.